Talking about more on how we can show from Scripture that gambling is a sin, and that it's not what God would have for us. So I'll start right here. So I'll just pray real quick, and then we'll get started. Dear Father, we do thank you for this day. We just thank you for providing your Word to show us. How we should live, and to show others why we do things and why we don't do things. And I just pray that it would be clear from your word that gambling is not something you would want us to do, that it is not beneficial for us or for others. And just pray that you would use it in a way that we might also gain information that we might be able to share with others, so they might see that it's not what you would have for us, and how we can be doing your will in other ways instead of things that are not of your will. Just love you and praise you, and just pray you would speak through me, and that your word would just bring forth fruit. Just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen.
All right. So, it's clear, as we, you know, there's a lot of things that we only have 10 commandments, that there's no 11th commandment about gambling. That would make it real easy if there was, but there isn't. But he did give us an entire Bible to teach us principles that we can apply in developing a godly Christian lifestyle, even as other Christians may not apply these principles, we should. And I want to first read, as a beginning of this, an example of someone who says they're a Christian and is all out for gambling, that, hey, it's no big deal, you can do this. And I might have gone through this a little bit the last time, but I want to read it again, because it really will, as I read it, you can see how later, when I talk about the principles that we go that are against gambling, you'll be able to refute everything that this guy says. This guy is, you might know him, you probably have heard his name, Jerry B. Jenkins, the co-author of the Left Behind series. He's found on the list of globalpokerindex.com by the World News that confirmed he was a player. And he says, "I don't play for what I would consider significant amounts of money," but he doesn't tell us how much or anything, but if he's on the list of world poker players, do you think it's a little bit or anything? It's probably a lot of money. Mm-hmm. "And I wouldn't gamble either." So right off the bat, he doesn't consider playing poker gambling. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just, he thinks, he says, I wouldn't gamble either. I mean, I don't play slots. That's what he considers gambling, but not poker. "I consider poker a skill game." Well, there might be some skill in it, but it's still the luck of the card, you know, what you get. He also admitted that his wins and losses have been about even. He says, I'm just a recreational player. It's not something I make money at or lose money at, really." Well, really. Okay, you do then. "I realize that people have an issue with it." Okay, now, when you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:22, talks about abstaining from all appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, you should just abstain from the evil. I mean, the gambling is. I mean, there are things that we can do that aren't evil, but we still shouldn't do them because it might have the appearance of evil. So we still shouldn't. But this, mm-hmm, you should abstain from it altogether, because it is evil. It's against what God would have us do, and we're going to go through that later. It says the Board of Trustees, now this is even more interesting, at Moody Bible College, where he works, Jenkins is a chair at the college, recently established a policy that permits, this is a Christian, so-called Christian church, that permits gambling, tobacco use, and alcohol use while off duty.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know how they can justify it. It said World News wrote in its article that both the policy change and Jenkins' poker hobby suggest that, as towards smoking and drinking, evangelical attitudes may be softening toward a formerly frowned upon or forbidden activity. Well, It says evangelical attitudes. Are those true Christian evangelical attitudes? No. It's what the world would call, this is the world wanting to change, wanting to make sure that you evangelicals, you need to change, you know. You just have to change. So in effect, what they're, even if true evangelicals don't change, they're going to say that evangelicals are changing because they want it that way. Okay. Jenkins said, many evangelicals have relaxed opposition to poker. Says easily, now this tells you, every sentence has something. Easily half the people I play with in home games are fellow believers. Ooh. Wow, would you want to be studying the Bible with them and getting, you know, trusting their opinions on things? I don't think so. He said his entire family plays poker.
Wow.
And he sometimes plays at the Golden Gates Casino in Black Hawk, Colorado, where his youngest son, Michael, works as a dealer. Okay. The novelist said he doesn't hide his identity. I am known where I play, and people know that I am a Christian. Mm. Okay, what kind of Christian do these people believe that he is then? Right. That he's a gambling Christian, and it's okay to gamble. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to focus on the Bible at all? No. He can do that, so I can do that. Mm. You know, so he's not being an example of a good Christian. He says, I share my faith. Would you want to, if you're somebody that's not a Christian, would you? You might not know what a true Christian believes, but if you think this is a true Christian, you're not going to get the true word of God. Okay, so he shares his faith. I sign and give away books. He declined to offer how often he plays in homes or publicly, and how much money he typically spends. His own practice, Jenkins said, might not be relevant to others, and might not be healthy to someone with an addiction. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay. So what kind of example are you setting? No hobby should become an obsession. Yet he's on this list of, you know, the top poker players and everything. It's not an obsession with him, you don't think? Okay, ask whether he felt it was a problem that some poker players lose so others can win, which is something we'll talk about. Jenkins said the same dynamic was true of sports, like basketball and softball. Here's where he totally changes the subject. He goes, I would respectfully challenge anyone to find biblical justification for prohibiting playing poker for money, in moderations, of course, at amounts they can afford, while allowing spending the same amounts to play golf or engage in fantasy sports leagues. Okay, first of all, you're not betting, you're not gambling when you're going to play golf. You're paying somebody for use of the golf course for something that's not not detrimental to your health, not detrimental to anybody else's. You know, it's just an activity. The fantasy sports leagues, from what I know of them, I mean, that might be gambling if you're doing those. Some of them, they just pick winners and losers, but they don't gamble. But he's totally trying to offshoot this to you know, kind of justify what he says is okay. Okay? Tournament poker opponents would point out that while Jenkins may be able to afford the money he risks at poker, his opponents may not be able to. And a man named Barrett Duke, Vice President of Public Policy and Research at Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, says gambling is different from other forms of entertainment. You are basically trying to win other people's money and risking the money that the Lord has entrusted to you. Plus, you're also engaging in activity that has destroyed millions of lives. Okay? So I just want you to think about when I go through the different teachings in Scripture that go against gambling, think about what he said and how he can't justify, you know, what he's saying. I'm just going to put this here. Okay, so first, so what I'm going to go over is, like I said, the morality of gambling, and based on what the Bible has to say. So there are at least five teachings in Scripture. There's probably more, but there's five that we have that we're going to go over that teach that gambling violates Scripture. Together, the violations overwhelmingly indicate that gambling is a sin, and believers should avoid it in all forms, okay? So here's the first one. The first of five is a denial of God's sovereignty, okay? Frankly, as we've talked before, and in Serge's class we talked about this, there is no such thing as luck.
Right.
Okay. Luck is saying that it's at the exclusion of God's involvement. That's what the definition that we got from Serge in his class.
Yep.
So that's saying, can we exclude God from this thing? No, you can't exclude God in any activity that goes on anywhere. God knows and is involved in everything that goes on. Okay? So nothing happens outside God's will and disposition. So belief in God not only dispels any idea of luck, it also rejects the idea of chance. There is no such thing as chance. Okay? Chance stands in direct opposition to a purposeful creation. Chance is the personification of anarchy. Okay, the idea that events are disposed of by chance is just superstition. Okay, a believer should respond to the sovereignty of God by putting faith in God, not chance, which there isn't anything as chance. He should trust God and love to love and care for Him. He should worship God no matter his circumstances. Okay, now a worldly person might respond to a superstitious world of luck and chance. So this worldly people will believe that there is luck, that there is chance. Okay, and they're going to do this by trying to manipulate the odds to be in his favor. He might rely on good luck charms. He would see gambling as legitimate entertainment. So if he wins, and like Jerry B. Jenkins says, you know, this is skill. I'm winning because of my skill So he doesn't see the connection. He's lost the connection between God and what he's doing is not right. Now, pop culture says that all of life is chance, okay? But life is not a gamble. God is in control of our lives, down to the number of hairs on our head, the Bible says. And God expects us to worship Him as sovereign over all. Counting on luck and on beating the odds is essentially idolatry, okay? It would be wrong to acknowledge God's sovereignty and then ask Him to make you a winner as you place your bet on a horse or a scratch lottery ticket, okay? To do so is testing God and trying to manipulate Him to use His sovereignty to one's advantage. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:16 says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Okay, so we're not supposed to be doing that. But no doubt gambling believers, those are people that say they're Christians and they gamble, will occasionally win. Obviously, Jerry B. Jenkins wins probably a lot. Okay, they're going to win. But winning a bet or hitting a jackpot is not an indication of God's approval of gambling. Okay? God brings, the Bible says, God brings rain on the just and the unjust in Matthew 5. Okay, but the unjust is still answerable for his sin. Okay? The Christian who wins a hand in a card game is still answerable for his violation of God's sovereignty. God's purpose for allowing the believer to win may never be apparent to the believer, but God's displeasure with believers gambling is still never going to be in question. And God's hand of discipline is the hand the believer should be most concerned about facing. Okay, that's the first one. The second biblical teaching that gambling violates is stewardship, specifically being an unfaithful steward. God is creator, and He creates an expectation of accountability. So we should live with an anticipation of responsibility. We need to be responsible for what He gives us. It is to God that we give account for every time we use our time, talent, and treasure, and whatever happens. The things we own are granted to us for a short time, just the time we're here on earth, whether they're for, you know, kids for toys or, you know, for us as tools or anything, we're responsible to God for their use. Okay? People say, it's my money, I can do with what I want. Well, that's not really true. Everything is still God's, but He gives us things. He puts things in our care for us to use, and hopefully, if we follow God, that we're going to use it in the right way, the way He would still want us to use it. I mean, He does give us things that are our portion, that, you know, we have decisions on how we should do it, but, you know, hopefully, we're still going to use it in the way God would want it, because that's going to bring us the most benefit. Okay. When people gamble, though, they engage in a system that views itself just as entertainment. But unlike most forms of entertainment, gambling creates a host of negative social consequences, which Mr. Jenkins didn't even want to talk about. He just kind of glossed over him, saying, well, if you can't handle this, you shouldn't do it. Well, that's not the right way to go about it. So wholesome entertainment or recreation contributes to mental, emotional, and physical well-being. Okay, those are things, like he had said before, like golf, playing golf, or playing a sport. Not betting on it, but just playing it. You might have to pay to use something to do the sport, but that's not wrong if you get something that's still going to benefit you mentally, emotionally, or physically. Mm-hmm. But gambling only debilitates. It is a vice that sucks the dollars and sometimes the life of everyone that it touches. So gambling a little bit, maybe a few dollars for a lottery ticket, like a lot of people think, isn't a way around of this stewardship. You know, that's still a violation of your stewardship. Yes, the morality of a behavior is not determined by the size of the stakes. So whether it's $1 or $100 or $1,000, okay, you cannot find moral reasoning like that in Scripture. God requires stewards to be faithful, leaving no loopholes for seemingly insignificant lapses. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
That's right. So that's the second one, stewardship. The third biblical teaching that gambling violates is theft. Okay, and this is what that reporter had mentioned before. For one person to win at gambling, a lot of other people must lose. And so if you go to a casino, you're not trying to really win the casino's money.
Right.
Because the casino's there to just, you know, get money. People are going to lose a lot. The people that win, they're going to give some of that to the people.
Yeah.
From the people that lose to the people that win. Mm-hmm. So the casinos then also get all the extra money that's left over from all the losers and the one winner. Mm-hmm. Well, most of it is losing money, so they're going to keep that. And some of it will go to the winner. But it's still not the casino's money. It's the other people that you're gaining from, okay? And you can call it robbery by mutual consent or consensual theft because everybody's agreeing to do it, but it still is a type of theft. But it's still taking dollars from others that you did not earn.
Right.
Okay, so gambling also violates the biblical command, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. Should you want to take other people's money? You know, even if they say it's okay, you know, do you want to do that? No, you shouldn't, okay? You cannot love your neighbors while you are participating in something designed to take from them. Okay? Now, the fourth biblical teaching that gambling violates is covetousness. Mm-hmm. It says, gambling is bred by the sin of covetousness. It's all about greed. Okay? The desire to get something for nothing, something that belongs to something else, to someone else. The late D. James Kennedy, a famous preacher, called gambling institutionalized covetousness. If you doubt this concept, if you were to take all the money out of a casino and just have other types of activities going on, do you think as many people would show up? No, they won't. They're there because they want to win something. They want to get something for nothing if they can. Mm-hmm. It's funny, they want to do that, but almost in the back of their mind, they all realize it's probably not going to happen. They almost all know they're going to lose, but they still do it. That's what's amazing to me. You know, if you thought you really had a really good chance of winning, you might do that, but you have to know that your chances of winning. But people are, you know, deceived into believing I can do it. I can win on that 2% chance that I'm going to win big, but. When they lose, they still keep on doing it. So that shows you it is some type of addiction. But anyway, gambling is a classic example, it says, of Satan's use of worldly allurements, tempting people to sin. And that's what Satan does. He lures us into wanting to do this because he'll show you this is what you could win. And keeps on showing you, keeps showing you. Like that commercial talks about, you can't win if you don't play.
That's right.
So you can't win.
That is correct.
You got to play. Well, it's not saying that you... You're going to lose a lot if you do play. It doesn't say that. Okay? So Satan's going to, do things to allure us, you know, with ornate casinos, graceful horses, exciting gaming tables, you know, anything, challenging slot machines, bright colored lights, noise in the casinos. But, of course, there's no clocks and no windows.
Right.
So gambling is a spiritual and financial time bomb in a pretty package. If you'd like to turn to, I'm not going to turn to many things, Hebrews 13. 13:5. And Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It was interesting listening to Joe's comment of what he heard at the men's conference about being content, and what Brother Jesse said too about being content. You know, if you're not content, you want something, God might get it for you, but you're going to lose something else possibly.
Amen.
So,
amen.
It's you really. Like Jesse said, you be careful what you ask for. You might get it, but you might lose something else. The best way to do it is ask God, you know, to give it to you if it's in your will. Because then, if it is, you're not going to be losing the other things that He's giving you, because it's His will for that to be. But talking about covetousness, gambling reveals that a person thinks God is incompetent and His presence is insufficient. So it's thinking, I need to do this. God, I know you're trying to help me here. You're trying to provide for me, but I need to do this. And I think I can do better at providing by doing this than you can. So it's kind of, people are deceiving themselves into thinking that's something that they can do. And gambling feeds the covetousness, the opposite of God's call for contentment. Okay, gambling goes to the heart of human nature. No matter how much we have, we always want what? We always want more. And that's something we have to learn to be, is to be content. I think a good thing to do is to see what you have. And if you think about doing something, you ask yourself, do I really need that? You know, is it possible that I don't need it? I can do without it. And pray about it. You know, God, if you think I need this, will you provide it? That's probably the best way to go about things. Okay, so the fifth teaching in Scripture that goes against gambling, the fifth and the last one, is addiction. Mm-hmm. Gambling is potentially habitual. Okay, something that Pascal called a fatal fascination, like a moth for the candle. Gambling is so potentially habitual that we've developed terms like obsessive, compulsive, and pathological to describe the addiction to gambling. Yet God tells us we are not to allow our minds, bodies, or souls to be brought under the power of anything other than the Spirit of God. If you want to go to Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. And verse 37 and 38 reads, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, a person could not become addicted to gambling without violating the command to love God with all his heart, soul, and mind. That wouldn't be possible if you're focusing all your heart, soul, and mind on God. You're not going to be able to focus on gambling, which is not where the focus should be. Some Christians argue that gambling is threatening only if it's abused. Therefore, people may participate in social, casual, or legalized commercial gambling without detrimental effects. They claim that a few dollars here or there won't destroy their solvency or character. Gambling, they say, is a matter of Christian liberty, but scriptures say otherwise, and given a gambling's history, the burden of the proof of this argument lies with the Christian gambler. I mean, we don't have, this is exactly what Jerry B. Jenkins was trying to say, that, I have liberty to do this, you know, but, you know, if it affects you, oh, that's too bad. Well, it's, first of all, if that was something that was legal, moral to do, And other people might have a problem, you shouldn't do it anyway, you know. Right. But that's not even the case. This is something you shouldn't be doing in the first place. So you don't have liberty to do that. In addressing Christian liberty, the Apostle Paul observed that all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Paul also said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Amen.
Okay. So even if gambling were a matter of Christian liberty, which it's not, the facts that it is not beneficial and that it could be addictive would be reason not to pursue it. So even though he doesn't think he's addicted to this, which, you know, he might want to think about, he shouldn't be doing it. And we're not to partake of anything that would surrender the rational and reasonable control of our own actions. I mean, he might have good control, and because of what he thinks is a skill, he's doing okay. But he could easily be one person that you never know. We might find out in short time ahead that maybe all of a sudden we find out that he, you know, he does have a problem, that all of a sudden he's lost his money. Well, what's he going to say then, that, oh, it's still okay, I should be doing this? And unfortunately, that happens to a lot of other people that do gamble. They just can't get out. They have to steal to keep going with gambling and everything. So it's not something, it's obviously something that God has a reason that it's not beneficial, that it's not a moral action for what happens. Now, the world would say that moral arguments against gambling are dead. In the public square, maybe that is true. A moral seismic shift has occurred. I mean, you look at gambling going everywhere. But past generations were not wrong on gambling, nor has theology changed. This is true of a lot of things, you know, just on gay marriage, on homosexuality. You know, the Bible was never wrong on that, you know. And people back then were never wrong on it. And it's still... That's still true today, but the world is trying to shift and say all these sins that you Christians call sins, or you Bible believers call sins, you know, they're not really sins. We're not going to say they're sins, but that's not true. They're still not what God would want us to do. They're not moral. So even if moral arguments may be lost on the public, they should not be lost on Christians. So we still have to. You know, when people talk to you about gambling, we have to stand up and say what we believe and why we believe it. So, just to close, Christians should develop their conscience and consider biblical doctrines pertaining to gambling, like these five. And like we said, I'm sure there's more you could find that would be against gambling that you could show through Scripture. And we should never follow the world's view. Never follow the world's view. Not only on this, but in any matter that you can think of, you should never follow the world's view. First, look what the Bible says. Maybe the world's view actually agrees on it, but more and more we look into it, it's not what the world... the world's intentionally, because of Satan. Satan's totally trying to go against everything that the Bible says. So no matter what activity or what thing you're thinking about, we should never follow the world's view, but look into the Bible and see what the Bible has to say on it. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for this day. We just thank you for your teachings on principles that we can show us that gambling is against your will and that it is a sin. And we just thank you for your word that we can trust in it now and in the future. And as we, even though the world is going further and further against everything that you say, and even just saying that your word is not true, that it's just a man's writing, that we can still trust in it because it's never changed since you gave it to us. We just love you and praise you. Just help us to have a good rest of the day learning more from your word in the different classes and in the different services. And we just pray you bless the food that we're going to have in the back. And we just love you and praise you, and just help us to continue to focus on you and use what we learn to be a witness to others. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.